I should actually own up to some additional crimes. In addition to being 18 years in the field as a compliance officer, I worked for 2.5 years as a special assistant to the chief of the division in headquarters until she got fired, and at which point I decided I didn't want to work for the new people, but I was able to retire. I don't have any financial arrangements here. So what I'd like to do are three things, really, is talk about how Cal OSHA has been weakened in the current administration, which, as we all know, is a Democratic administration of Jerry Brown. I'd talk why this has happened, and then thirdly, what we can do about it. Well, Governor Brown, much like President Obama, as Celeste has just explained to us, and unfortunately, as just like Hillary Clinton will be, is very much a corporate Democrat who takes millions of dollars from business, and as a result, is carefully protects their interests. Governor Brown, for example, has received millions of dollars from the California Hospital Association, millions of dollars from the California Hotel Association, millions of dollars from the Western States Petroleum Association, which is the oil industry in California. And just to show you how twisted this all becomes, is that Governor Brown would like to be the governor of climate change, you know, governor, let's fight carbon. And at the same time that he is making statements that are critical about fossil fuel and even occasionally critical about the oil companies, he's done three things in his administration which I think are very indicative as to where his loyalties lie. First, in 2013, Governor Brown fired from the state agency that controls oil leases in California two regulators for not issuing fracking permits fast enough. So here's a guy who's, you know, talking about the climate change, and he fires people for not issuing fracking fast enough. Last year, there was an oil pipeline burst in Santa Barbara. You may have seen it in the news, tremendous pollution on the coast. Governor Brown suspended the Coastal Protection Act during the cleanup so that the company involved would not have to meet the cleanup criteria or pay the fines. Thirdly, as you may have known, heard about, we're having a tremendous drought in California, a four-year drought, historic levels. The state government under Governor Brown mandated a 25% cut of water use by all users in California, except for the fracking industry, which gets a complete buy and uses hundreds of millions of gallons of water every day and then injects contaminated toxic water back into the aquifers. So this is what corporate Democrats mean in California. Of course, he's also happy to take millions of dollars from the unions and will, under sufficient pressure, sign bills that are supported by the labor movement. But those of us who have lived in California for the last 5 years have no doubt as to where his actual loyalties lie. He also, in addition to being a corporate Democrat, is a small government Democrat, which means austerity today, austerity tomorrow, austerity forever. And as a result of this, Cal OSHA has been put on a starvation diet since January of 2011 by the governor. And it actually is totally unnecessary. Cal OSHA has three streams of money, none of which come from the state budget. So we have money from the feds, we have money from a very small surcharge on worker comp premiums, and we have money from fee to service for inspecting boilers, pressure vessels, elevators, etc. Not a penny comes from the state budget, and yet the agency has been put on a starvation diet for the past 5 years. And this reflects itself really in the staffing levels, which have those of you who have been bombarded by my emails over the last 2 years, I apologize. But I do think it's kind of important because this is where the rubber hits the road, you know, and it's nice to have wonderful regulations in California, but if they're never enforced, who cares? So in January of 2011, this is when Republican Arnold Schwarzenegger left office, Cal OSHA had 195 compliance, safety, and health officers, or COSHOs. In December 2013, when I left, there were 170 COSHOs, again, ostensibly because of sequestration at the federal OSHA level, which was completely unnecessary and simply not true. The latest figures I have for September of 2015, we're back up to 190, which is good. This is 5 years after the Brown administration, and it's still below what Arnold Schwarzenegger left in January 2011. Now, this means that California right now has one inspector for every 100,000 workers. This is the standard comparison statute. And so if you compare that to Fed OSHA, who everybody thinks is understaffed to begin with, they're at 1 to 59,000. Washington State is 1 to 25,000. And Oregon State is 1 to 22,000. So why is it that California workers don't deserve the same level of protection that workers do in other states, or the same level of protection that wildlife have in California, because there are 250 fish and game wardens in California, which is, as my math tells me, somewhat larger than 190 COSHOs. So the understaffing impact, which is important because it means that if you don't have enough people to do the work, there are fewer inspections that are done by the enforcement branch. It means that there are fewer worker complaints that the agency can respond to. There are fewer planned or programmed inspections, which is what everybody agrees we want to do more of, looking at high-hazard industries where you have a lot of vulnerable workers. But in California, worker complaints and accidents take priority, I think, legitimately. But if you don't have enough people to do the complaints and accidents, how are you ever going to do programmed inspections? It means that there's fewer health inspections, because to do health inspections on noise or chemical exposures, ergonomics, much more intensive, takes much longer to do so. And if you're under a lot of pressure to pump out these inspections and meet the production goals, as we are, this is a problem. And it means naturally faster, narrower, and less thorough inspections, because you got to open them and close them as much as fast as you can. So the bottom line is really that there are fewer hazards identified and fewer that are eliminated, and there's more injuries and illnesses. And there's also one of the bad things about the austerity forever is that there's been some policies that were handed down which just make no sense at all, which totally undercut the agency. For example, Jerry Brown was very keen in his first year of office to eliminate state cars. So this is supposedly a big perk and a suck hole of money. Well, for an inspection agency like Cal OSHA, you kind of need cars to go do inspections. So you have two options. One is you make people use their own cars, which can be dangerous in some situations because the employers can figure out from your license plate where you live, where your family lives, etc. Or you rent cars, which is what we end up doing. And even with the lousy group rates that we got from Enterprise, we figured out in headquarters that eliminating state cars doubled Cal OSHA's transportation costs, which means it cut that, you know, where the budget is being held, we just doubled the transportation costs, which undercuts, obviously, what's needed. There's been a constant pressure to shrink operations. All the district offices are always being pushed into tighter and tighter offices, which makes it hard to hire, because where are you going to hire anybody when you literally have nowhere? You don't even have a cubicle to put them in anymore because you have half the space that you did before. And we've also, over the last 5 years, experienced tremendous obstacles from above to backfilling vacancies. One of the good things, supposedly, about the current, we have 190 COSHOs, but there are 50 recognized vacancies, which means if they were all filled, we would have COSHOs up to 240. But our experience in headquarters for the last 5 years is we will never see those positions filled because of the opposition of the Department of Industrial Relations. One thing to understand is that Cal OSHA is part of a department, Department of Industrial Relations, and then there's four divisions. So Cal OSHA is one of these divisions. And Cal OSHA itself actually does not control its budget, does not control its funding, does not control its hiring. That's all controlled by DIR. And that's a big problem over the last 5 years. Because actually, Jerry Brown has got apparently a really sort of an ADD thing. People say there's only three things that he can, you know, think about at any given time. And unfortunately, workplace health and safety has never and will never be one of those three things. So it means all the decisions in the agency go to the DIR level, and you have a director of the DIR for the last 5 years, Christine Baker, who's got a very standard Republican view of workplace health and safety, which is that the vast majority of employers either do the right thing or would do the right thing if they knew. So CalOSHA's priority should be partnerships and compliance assistance and consultation, and you have enforcement to punish the bad actors, who typically are small employers that create a competitive disadvantage to the responsible big employers. But as a result of that, what it means is that actual enforcement is deprioritized, and instead you have partnerships and compliance assistance and consultation is the real goal of CalOSHA. And this culminated this internal discussion between DIR and CalOSHA, terminated in September of 2013 with the firing of the chief I was working for, Ellen Wydess, who, as always, there's a lot of factors involved in this, but one of which was a very different view of what CalOSHA's role should be. Now, one of the things we've learned over the 20 years that I worked for CalOSHA is that actually political intervention into CalOSHA is actually worse under Democrats than it is under Republicans. Republicans sort of have a malign neglect attitude towards CalOSHA. Wish it goes away, go away, don't do anything. They put people who are the country club circuit in charge of it. But the Democrats actually are very interventionist, very active. And one of the things that they do, and it's certainly true under this administration, Governor Brown and Director Baker, has been to protect campaign contributors. There's a very famous case which has not gotten any publicity in California, where Director Baker tried to protect Disney, which is a major contributor to the Brown campaign, in an accident investigation in Disneyland, where it was a repeat of an accident that occurred in Florida. The Florida accident resulted in a fatality, and in California, there were two accidents, actually ended in very serious injuries for the affected workers, and Director Baker actually ordered CalOSHA's top leadership to make these willful citations, there were three willful citations, where she would go away. And when she was told by the lawyers, well, you can't really just make them go away, then the idea was to mitigate them to the greatest degree possible. So special negotiations were held at headquarters, and two of the three willful citations went away along with their money, saving Disney the embarrassment of having willful citations issued, because they could say, now it was all a big mistake, and we agreed to this, but we didn't really agree to it, and the money was cut by 65%. So Disney is a very large campaign contributor to the Brown administration, and the CEO has held numerous fundraisers at his mansion in Bel Air, which is part of Los Angeles. Also, there's been, under the current administration, which was true under Republicans, don't get me wrong here, you have the DIR, which is really authorized to run CalOSHA, responding to business interests, the agribusiness, the oil companies, the elevators. Elevators is an interesting sort of thing, is that there is two big companies, Schindler and Otis, which are the big elevator companies, and for years they were entertained by DIR with a proposal to allow these elevator companies to install a form of elevators which were explicitly banned in Los Angeles and other countries, other cities around the country. And fortunately, because the elevator unit was belligerent enough, they never succeeded. One of the other great ideas coming from DIR is that CalOSHA, little by little, should be replaced by third-party inspectors, private Bureau Veritas and others who can first start out with doing elevator and pressure vessel, but could, if needed, because we have such a backlog, do some of the actual compliance inspections somewhere down the line. So these are the ideas that are going on. So the impact for workers, as everybody knows, is this is a bad thing. Right now, DIR and the governor are trumpeting the fact that the number of fatalities in California went from 396, allegedly, in 2013 to 334, allegedly, in 2014, so a big victory. But if you think about this, 334, that's a worker dying every day in California. How is that acceptable? How is it sensible to have a lesser enforcement, more partnership, more consultation model, when literally every working day a worker is killed in California? Who wants to win that lottery? And that assumes, of course, that the actual statistics are correct, and we know there's tremendous underreporting on injuries, and we know there's also underreporting on fatalities. So in California, for example, last year there were 40,000 lost workday cases with 10,000 hospitalizations. That sounds like kind of a problem. We should have a stronger, not a weaker, enforcement agency. With the pressure to go, with the austerity forever, we have hazardous exposures that go unidentified, and of course, more occupational illnesses and deaths. So the reasons why for this, I think, are pretty obvious. Everybody in this room probably knows that corporate power has got a lot more juice than the labor movement does. Without the labor movement, there would have never been a Cal OSHA, and that's important to understand. Without the labor movement, there would have been no OSHA at all. But for the first 20 years, unions built health and safety departments, which were very powerful and had a lot of activities. Over the last 20 years, those health and safety departments have shriveled and died, frankly. We also have a one-party state in California. I mean, basically, Republicans don't matter. So if you're a politically active union person or union leader, you're looking at a role of loyal opposition, and you have to figure out how you're going to navigate that. My view, which has not made me very happy with some of the leadership or staff members of the labor movement in California, is that the California labor movement's strategy on health and safety, at least, has not been very successful. All the backroom, backdoor, quiet diplomacy has not helped Cal OSHA get the staffing levels it needs, and has had a constant battle with DIR and the corporate interests that it's so eager to placate. And I think the strategy of maintaining access and influence with politicians and their appointees at all costs has meant real deterioration of strength for Cal OSHA. And unfortunately, what happens when it comes to lobbying or around budget issues, no one is willing to pick a fight in the labor movement with the governor about Cal OSHA, because there are more important issues to do rather than Cal OSHA. So the way forward, I think, is basically to think back to how we got Cal OSHA, or how we got OSHA in the first place, which is that it was a big campaign in the late 60s where the labor movement, OHS professionals and workers in various forms, made health and safety a priority. It has to be as much of a priority for the labor movement as the many other issues that show up in Sacramento and in Washington, D.C. So I think we have to figure out how can we rebuild the coalition and rebuild those campaigns which were so successful in the late 60s. I mean, who signed the OSHA Act? It was a right-wing Republican by the name of Richard Nixon, not a friend of working people. You know, I mean, Obama today would never sign an OSHA Act or an EPA Act. So we have to figure out what we're going to do in this situation. And I think because the labor movement is much weaker now than it was, 40 years ago, we have to look beyond organized labor, though that's got to be the core of it, and look to vulnerable populations, which are the people that actually really care about health and safety, and make it a priority no matter what. And those include day laborers, temp workers. Think about all those poor kids that died in cell towers and all their families. The oil and gas workers are dying like flies. Even crazy things like grain silos, where the children of farmers, die by the dozens every year. It's totally nuts. So I think that health and safety has to be, again, a top priority for workers and their organizations, whatever that organization format may be, and not only in organizing new unions and in contracts and in legislative and political work. So we have a little website that we put together called Inside Cal OSHA. I'm sure some of you have seen it. I managed to steal a bunch of public documents when I was going out the door, and those are all publicly available there for anybody who's interested. So thanks very much.